always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, the it's not just like July 1st. It's not just, you know, the draft, and it's the entirety of this offseason. The Lakers have to exit this offseason or enter this upcoming season with a team that legitimately considers itself a championship contender. And not just a team that considers itself a championship contender, but also like the reviews on this are going to matter quite a bit too, right? Where like the Mandalorian and Grogu movie just came out, and you know, there's some optimism because the budget for that movie wasn't quite as high. There's some optimism there that just like financially it can be a win, but Disney is also going to care about, you know, some of the critical acclaim with this movie, and especially given that, like, you know, you have this whole a big chunk of the Star Wars fan base is asking, hey, why can't we just give the keys to Gilroy? On the, you know, both financial and critical success of Andor, and Rogue One, that's really high up there for my favorite Disney movies or Star Wars movies. You know, so there's, I count myself among the people who are like, kind of curious what Gilroy would do with this universe. But then same time you have, you know, you know, hit the wins that he has had. Hold on one second. So like the given some of the wins that he has in the past, right? There are plenty of Star Wars fans who are like, well, Dave Filoni hasn't been that terrible. And so like with you know, with this Mandalorian and Grogu thing, you know, Gilroy was able to have both financial and critical success. And for Mandalorian and Grogu, it might have financial success, but if critics are just kind of lukewarm on it, Filoni, you know, the beginning of his run here as head of Star Wars is, it's going to be kind of an auspicious start. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for this Lakers offseason, not only will they have to, you know, compile a roster that maybe they are comfortable with, but, you know, idiots like my opinions on the Lakers roster, I think, are going to be taken into account. Your opinions on the roster, you know, with you know, reactions on social media is going to matter a little bit. Just overall excitement for this upcoming Lakers season is going to be something that the Lakers are going to be closely monitoring to decide to what extent this offseason might be a success. So that right there, I think, is reason enough to continue to pay extra close attention. And we'll see how this thing plays out. But Rob has basically everything riding on this summer. All right, let's see. Going to dive back into Twitter just to make sure. Yeah. let's see. Oop. Let's go over here. And the next question that we have, just going in kind of the order that I see it. Okay, yeah. So Leo Hirsch 24 was asking, do you think AD would welcome a trade back to LA, or is that bridge completely burnt? Well, this one's tricky because I don't think the Lakers like are angry at Anthony Davis. Like, I don't think there is, like, when you use the cliche, is the bridge completely burnt, that implies like some resentment there. And I don't sense any resentment per se towards Anthony Davis. I kind of more resent relief from Lakers people, that like they were kind of happy to be out of the Anthony Davis business. There were, over the last few years of his time there, there were plenty of questions about his conditioning and his commitment to conditioning, basically, over the last few years, and whether some of the injury issues that he dealt with had something to do with the conditioning questions. And so, you know, from the Lakers standpoint, at the number that he is at and given the amount of years left on his contract, plus the contract he's kind of expecting on the other side of this current contract, the Lakers, I think, have pretty much moved on from Anthony Davis as an option. Even if, again, there's no resentment per se, I just think everybody there is kind of like, all right, thank you for your time. Best of luck on your future endeavors. We both got what we wanted out of this relationship.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From Anthony Davis's standpoint, I do think potentially there might be the response to this might have to be a little more careful. I don't think that he harbors any ill will towards the Lakers. You know, I think there was probably plenty of surprise from AD when the Lakers traded him. I don't think he anticipated that the Lakers would trade him. And I think, you know, that surprise is something that might lead to some resentment, if you want to use that term. I don't, however, think that he is so angry at the Lakers for trading him, for Luka Doncic specifically, that he would not entertain a return. I don't think it's in the cards. I don't think it makes sense for really anybody involved given his current contract, but like maybe down the road, once this contract is approaching its end and, you know, depending on where Anthony Davis is in terms of what he'll be looking for his contract after this one, you know, maybe the, you know, both sides can get their heads together and figure something out. But as it stands right now, I just don't see it. I would love it. Like Anthony Davis, the theory, I think is a little bit better than Anthony Davis, the player. And that's probably been the case for, you know, last year or so. But, you know, if the reality and the theory come a little closer to each other, then I think he makes a ton of sense just in terms of basketball for the Lakers. I don't necessarily see it, for all the reasons that I listed. I will say that his comments like about Austin Reeves, like did make me smile a little bit. I do, you know, like, I look back on that 2019-2020 team with an incredible amount of fun. Like, that is one of my favorite Lakers teams of all time. When you consider everything that that team needed to deal with and route to a championship. And Anthony Davis was a big part of that. Like, somebody in the offside chat last night asked what that Lakers team would do against either of these teams left in the Western Conference Finals. And I think the 2019-2020 championship team absolutely smokes either of these teams. Like, Lakers in five. And Anthony Davis is like a big part of why. He was just so freaking unique, so freaking special. Him at the peak of his powers was really something to behold on both sides of the ball, but especially defensively. And then that team also had LeBron effing James and a great supporting cast. And that's going to be a team that I'm always going to look back on with a whole bunch of fondness. And that's going to be a you know, the years that followed are going to, you know, always kind of sting a little bit, because I never felt like that team got an honest chance at defending its championship. The next season started so quickly thereafter, and everybody's bodies were so broken down from the really, really, like, literally, you know, uniquely long season the year before, that it just wasn't really in the cards for everybody to get together and compete again the following year. And that's not just a Lakers thing. Same goes for Denver. Same went for Boston. Same went for Miami. And, you know, while I think it's unlikely that Anthony Davis will be a Laker ever again or anytime soon, I do one day look forward to seeing his jersey there in the Raptors. And you know, when that time comes and when Anthony Davis gets to go back and enjoy that moment, I'll be right there applauding just as loudly as anybody, because he would deserve his jersey to be retired. Next question here comes from LeBron, or it is a LeBron question. So this is a two-parter from a couple of people. So Tyler Nyszynski writes, if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, would the Lakers have enough to re-sign Reeves, Rui, and sign Watson, Kessler? Two offer sheets, barring Denver and Jazz, don't match. So that's part one. And then part two here is from at MJ is overrated, who writes, if LeBron does leave for another team, what do the Lakers do with Bronny? All right. So I'll go in order. What would LeBron leaving do for the Lakers books, essentially? So as it stands, the Lakers have anywhere from like mid-20s to, well, actually, the Lakers have anywhere from no cap space to like high 40s, mid 50s in term million of cap space. And I say no at the start there, because if, like, until the moment they renounce cap holds on LeBron and on Rui, well, basically those two guys, I guess Kennard also counts there as well. And then, you know, we have to wait to see what the player option decisions that DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart make. But like, the Lakers don't have any cap space until they renounce, most specifically, LeBron James. His cap hold is upwards of $50 million. And I guess, you know, Rui's cap hold is also significant, right? It's probably 26 or $27 million. And so, like, the Lakers just, like, don't have the room that Tyler is talking about here to make the kind of offer to Peyton Watson or to Walker Kessler that like Denver or Utah just wouldn't match immediately. And, I mean, honestly, under no circumstances, frankly, do they have enough room to make big enough offers to both Peyton Watson and Walker Kessler to acquire both of those guys just via free agency. Because, like, if it's a respectable enough offer, like, Utah and Denver would just match it. And also, like, as it pertains to Watson in particular, I think that Denver would probably just match that offer and then look to get off of like Cam Johnson or Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown to make the room necessary to, you know, eat Peyton Watson's contract. Walker Kessler is a little trickier, right? Because I think a big part of their decision there is going to have to do with the amount of resources allocated already to their front court, where they already have Jaren Jackson Jr. and they already have Lauri Markkanen. Both of those guys are going to be making max contracts here moving forward. And, you know, if you have Walker Kessler also on your books for 30-ish million bucks, then, you know, is that too much money just focused on your front court there? So I would probably say Kessler is probably slightly more gettable. No, not even slightly. Actually more gettable than Peyton Watson. It would just require a pretty big number that would make Utah kind of blush. And so if LeBron goes to Cleveland by way of free agency and you renounce his draft rights, then, you know, that opens up, you know, a 20, you know, let's see, that would get you to about, excuse me. See, there's the burrito. I shouldn't have eaten the burrito. Somebody's going to clip that. I shouldn't even the great. But anyway, if LeBron leaves, the Lakers would, and then if they renounce Rui's cap hold, or if they sign Rui quickly enough, you're probably looking at like, and they would wait on Austin because you can go above the cap for Austin. And he has a small cap hold relative to what he's going to be making. At that point, you would probably have room for one of Peyton Watson or Walker Kessler. And look, I'd be intrigued. You would essentially be trading LeBron for Walker Kessler, at least initially. And I would certainly be intrigued by, you know, if you renounce LeBron and you make a sizable offer to Walker Kessler that Utah decides not to match. And then you say to LeBron, hey, you know, if you resign Rui to a decent enough number, or if you use the space opened up by Rui signing elsewhere, or maybe signing a contract that is for less than his cap hold, you know, the Lakers could then basically say, like, all right, we have this, and this. We have another, you know, mid-level exception at like 14.7 million dollars next year that you could either sign for, or if you want to sign for less than that, we could use that exception to sign another player and then sign you using the biannual exception or something like that. But yeah, the Lakers cap space is in this weird spot where, like, yes, they technically have it and they technically have quite a bit of it, but that involves saying goodbye to some guys that I don't think the Lakers necessarily are all that thrilled to say goodbye to. Right. Now they are doing a lot of work behind the scenes to try to move off of Jared Vanderbilt's contract and maybe send him into another team's cap space and open up some room that way. That'll be interesting to see if they're able to do that. That gives them a lot more flexibility there, right? I think he makes about 14 or 15 million bucks next year, plus a player option on the other side of that one. But the Lakers have the work cut out for them, and it's this weird spot where they technically have cap space, but they don't really have cap space. And by the time they do have cap space, like, you're at that point talking about this, like, a weird trade situation, kind of like, remember when the Lakers didn't trade for, but kind of did trade Trevor Ariza for Ron Artest? Like, that's what a lot of these free agent signings are essentially going to be, which makes it tricky to just kind of add to the core that the Lakers have, which we all grant isn't good enough. So the Lakers are going to be taking a step back in order to take a bigger step forward. Makes it very tricky. And I've said this to Pete, I've said this to people close to the Lakers, I've said this to anybody I've ever spoken to really on this subject. And I've said, like, I just don't see a world where, LeBron isn't a Laker next year and the Lakers are better. Like, the Lakers roster is better. I just don't see it. And, you know, I'd love to be proven wrong. Frankly, I would much more prefer to see LeBron back and see him on a team that he is excited enough to take a little bit less to be a part of. And we'll, you know, we'll see if that's how this all comes out, how it all plays out. The next question that we have here, this one comes from Twitter as well. Let's see, where is it? Come on, I just saw it. Okay, yeah. Revived Gamer HD writes, thoughts on Onyeka Okongwu as a big man target if the Hawks select Mara, a stretch big, could be vital versus San Antonio. And honestly, against OKC too. So I actually, it was funny. I was just talking with Pete and with Jovan in our Great Western Forum, like, group text, about, you know, stretch fives and stuff like that. And the stretch five that I entertained or asked those guys to entertain was Miles Turner. Milwaukee, especially if they trade Giannis, like, they will definitely not have any need for Miles Turner's contract moving forward. And maybe, just maybe, you might be able to get Turner plus a pick if what you're offering is that cap space. So, oh, shoot, I didn't answer the Bronny part of the last one. Yeah, Bronny has a partially guaranteed contract for next year. And if LeBron isn't on the team, I find it really difficult to see Bronny being on the team next year. It's like, would I don't want to oversimplify this thing and say that it's just like the only reason Bronny is on the Lakers is because of LeBron. I think Bronny has shown enough growth that I would be intrigued by him as a prospect moving forward. But I think if LeBron leaves just via free agency, and if he signs a contract that the Lakers, like, would have preferred to have him at, I think the Lakers at that point would just be like, all right, we're done with the James family as a business and as an entity. Bronny, go and, you know, see if LeBron can get you a gig at his new team, and best of luck to you that way. All right, let's go back to you know, Revive Gamer again, who asked, thoughts on Onyeka Okongwu as a big man target if the Sox, if the Hawks select Mara. All right, so picking back up on my train of thought, I was asking Pete and Jovan about Miles Turner yesterday. Now, Turner was awful last year. He was nowhere near the player that he was when he had Tyrese Halliburton setting up everything for him and Rick Carlisle opening up the court for him strategically. He was a disaster, honestly, last year for Milwaukee. And, you know, you could point to any number of reasons why. There is a concern that, you know, maybe after his, like, latest payday, that, like, is, like, how focused is he on basketball? Who knows? But, you know, he was really bad last year for Milwaukee. And the Lakers, if they brought him in, would need him to be worlds better. But the reason that I've been sitting there thinking about Miles Turner is because the number of playable stretch bigs, stretch fives, who are out there, who I think could even kind of hang in a series against OKC or against San Antonio or against, you know, any number of these teams that the Lakers are going to have to go through eventually in the West. The number of stretch fives who clear that talent level is not particularly high. And I was thinking about, like, all right, so the Lakers have their cap space. Would you rather, you know, basically trade, like, especially if you could get off of Vando's contract, say, you know, you send Vando to, like, Portland or to Minnesota or something like that, the Lakers get back Turner, and Milwaukee gets, you know, some stuff and some cap space through the process. Like, does that make as much or more sense, or less sense, I guess, than, you know, going and hoping that Utah wouldn't match an oversized offer for Walker Kessler, given that Kessler is coming off of a season where he barely played more minutes than I did. So I was thinking about Miles Turner and like the very, very, very small pool of stretch bigs who have proven over the years that they can play in the playoffs. And Turner is one such big, or at least was one such big. Is that worth the gamble? I don't know. Like, you basically be hoping that Luka would like get Turner back to where he was at when he was playing with Tyrese Halliburton. It would be funny that like the Lakers finally employ Miles Turner after all of this. And look, like if Milwaukee says like, hey, are you interested in Miles Turner? No. What about Miles Turner and a pick? Maybe. Like, you would have to entertain that as an option. So, I whether it's a Kongwu, whether it's Turner, whatever, I do think that like the Lakers are going to need a stretch big, because San Antonio has seemed to struggle against five out sets in this series against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, you know, if you stretch them out, I think that gives you about as good of a chance at piercing their shell defensively as any other approach to doing it. We're going to see how this thing goes. But I would say that like employing a stretch big next year, like I've been thinking a lot about like how the Lakers would fill out their center spot. And I would, you know, say like, I want a bruising big, I want a rim running big, and I want a floor stretching big, or floor spacing big. And if the Lakers can have all three, they already have Jackson. He's kind of your rim runner. So that one's kind of taken care of already. And if you could bring in, you know, like if you want to use the bulk of your investment on a kind of bruising big and go after Walker Kessler, I would respect that. If you want to use kind of the bulk of your investment and trade for Miles Turner, especially at a discounted price, I could kind of see that. But I think you need one of all three of those centers so that you could throw as many pitches as you possibly can. Let me see. I guess I want to look. And I'm getting a note here right at the tail end of the show. Apparently, I'm hearing that the Lakers have laid off some, like, not basketball ops people. I don't know what they're getting ready to do. Just kind of, I might have to come back on the show just to talk this through, but there are apparently some layoffs taking place. I don't want to like jump the gun here, out of respect to the people who might be losing their jobs. So I think I'm going to end this show here and then maybe come back. Back to, you know, on the air, depending on who the layoffs might be and as I get more information. So I'm gonna go ahead and peace out here. Thank you everybody for leaving your questions, and I just want to double check, make sure I don't have any. Cool. Just making sure. Cool. Perfect. 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 All right. Sorry, kind of scatterbrained there at the very end there. Thank you everybody for your questions, your comments. Thank you in advance for liking and subscribing. Thank you in advance for subscribing to the show in the podcast form. Thank you in advance for supporting Prize Pick by using that promo code HMA, and making a $5 lineup. Your reward for doing so would be $50 worth of lineups there at Prize Picks. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow or in 5 minutes. Who knows?